good to be with you in the house of the Lord this evening. And it's always a joy to be able to come up, see friends, family. Now, if you brought your Bibles tonight, take them and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses here out of chapter 1 and then go to chapter 2. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we will read our text for tonight. Our gracious Father, we come. We thank you now. We love you. Father, we love your word. We love your people. Be with us tonight. Let the Holy Spirit guide us and illuminate us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 1, 2 Timothy, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. It says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee. Now I want us to be thinking about this phrase we're getting ready to read. Being mindful of thy tears. I guess somewhere that Timothy had gotten a hold of Paul, and he was having some issues, some problems. And I want to bring that to our attention tonight, because I'm going to take my text out of chapter 2 about verse 3, where he talks to Timothy about enduring hardness. Now he says here in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now chapter 2, verse 1, says, thou therefore. Now that word therefore means because of what I've just said. And that's why I drew our attention to verse 4. Timothy was having some problems. I dare say that he was discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged in the Christian life. And he tells him here, because of what I just told you, he says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, here it is, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to spend a few moments of our time this evening on what is this hardness that he commands us and commands Pastor Timothy here to endure in the Christian life, in the Christian ministry. We do understand that the Timothys, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus are what we call the pastoral epistles. And in them, we find out how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. He says over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou knowest how to behave thyself in the house of God. There's a certain behavior that God wants. But when you start doing things God's way, it's going to draw a target on your back. And Timothy had such a target. And the Apostle Paul says, now look, you need to be able to endure this hardness as a good soldier. The word endure means to continue while taking punishment. It also means to carry on despite hardship. So it's just a little more than just absorbing punishment and not doing anything. It means to absorb punishment while you're continuing what you've been commanded to do. And that's what he's telling Pastor Timothy here, to endure hardness. That means you're going to get hit. The devil's going to slap you around. And while he's doing that, you're going to have to be able to endure that hardness in the Christian life, meaning that you're going to have to continue on. He says to endure this hardness. I firmly believe Timothy was in a hard spot. And Paul is writing to encourage him. But I'd like to bring our attention. I think many messages have been preached out of this chapter, maybe on this subject. If we was to read the book, we'd find that he says to endure afflictions, to endure all things, to endure people that's not going to endure sound doctrine. That means they're not going to continue in it. But here, this phrase, I want to talk a little bit tonight on enduring hardness. What hardness? And I believe if we was to take this book of 2 Timothy, I believe right there in chapter 1, he says an interesting phrase here in verse 8 in chapter 1. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed." I firmly believe that if you're going to endure the hardness in the Christian life, that you're going to have to be able to endure the shame that comes along with the ministry and with the Christian life. The enemy, one of the quickest ways, the best ways to engage the Christian life is first to admit and to recognize that there is definitely an enemy. And the devil is real. And if you don't think he is, then you stand up and talk about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and see what happens. He says the devil has his minions, we can say that, or his children, people that are lost, that are operated and controlled by the devil. And they're going to do their best to shame you. And I believe someone here in this church, maybe perhaps in the church, I believe that the devil, the battleground is in the church. I do not believe that it's down the road tonight, maybe in a bar somewhere. That's not where the devil's at. He has them. It's going to be right here. And when you get conflict, you get bickering and fighting and people not wanting to do what they're supposed to be doing from the Word of God, you can guarantee the devil's somewhere. And there'll be people when you go to take a stand for the Lord that will try to shame you. Oh, I think they was trying to shame Timothy here because he talks about vain babblings and profane stories and wives' tale. People will try to shame you by saying your views are narrow. You know how that is? That's a big thing today. People want to shame you because they think you have narrow views. If you have a traditional service, if you love the Lord and you preach on hell and you're not all the time on love, they will go call that narrow. And I believe that was going on here with Timothy. And people were saying, look, you got a narrow view. If you don't think that's so, then you get out and you tell someone, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way." Yeah. Oh boy, we're using the articles of the faith there. A-N and the way, one way. Jesus says, "I'm the way." There's many other ways that man has, but they're not going to get you to heaven. We're not all climbing the same ladder. There's only one way to heaven. When you start preaching that, or if you just have the name Baptist associated with your name, they already know because the label tells you what's on the inside. And they're going to draw down on you. They're going to try to shame you because this Bible says Jesus was, "I am the way, the truth." So there's only one truth and the life. There's only one life to live after you're saved. And that's the life that God tells us to live here in the Word of God. There's a lot of Christians today that are living a life. They're living their life, but they're not living the life. And when you go to stand up and to start living the life for the Lord, folks are going to try to shame you. And he says you have to endure that. Oh, I think folks who come in, it gets in churches. I know if it's in mine, it's probably in yours. People that are swayed by the world's philosophy. And so what's really big today is, well, what's fair? I don't want to know what's fair. I want to know what's right and what's wrong. Because what's right might not necessarily be what's fair. If God tells us to do something, we need to be doing it. See, Saul got himself into trouble there, remember? When he went down to take out Agag and the Amalekites, and he figured that he had countermanded God's order there because he felt like he had a first-hand account, and it just wouldn't be totally fair there. God was just a meanie there just a little bit. You see, you got to be careful about that stuff. People sitting, that they have the world's philosophy, like social justice, maybe humanism. They'll try to shame you. Oh, how about the shame of the cross? See, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, not to the saved people, foolishness. He said, to them that perish, that's a lost man. The lost man, the lost world, the philosophical part of mankind thinks the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Preacher, preaching that old time religion, they'll shame you. I believe that's what they were doing here to Timothy. He was a Bible believer, a Bible teacher. But if you was to look here, chapter 2, about verse 21, let's back up to about verse 16. I believe there's something else that we as good soldiers of Jesus Christ are going to have to endure. Not only are we going to have to endure the shame, we're going to have to endure separation. Now, I know that's a dirty word. That's a bad word. You know, people don't like that word, separation. Don't like that. But look what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Look here, verse 16, chapter 2. But shun profane and vain babblings. Oh yeah. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth, they've erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Here's our verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these. You say, what's he talking about? Oh, he's talking about a good soldier is going to have some separation. So you need to purge yourself from these, Pastor Timothy. You're going to have to separate yourself, we know, from the world. It's what the Bible says. I mean, he said, we have nothing in common with the world. Separate ourselves from false religion. I mean, I get this a lot where I'm at. People say they're saved, but they're sitting in some false religion, some false denomination, thinking that just, well, just everything's just glory. No, it's not. You need to separate from that. You need to get into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching, God-honoring church. A little separation. How about, in this particular context, separation from compromisers, false teachers? Oh, yeah. See, it's a big thing today is we all want to hold hands with everybody for humanitarian things, you know. We just want to feed the poor over there across the world, but you won't even bake your neighbor a chocolate cake or help them out. Now, if you can't help your neighbor who lives right next door, how in the world could you be concerned with someone a half a world away? See, we're back on those philosophies again. Separation. I believe a good soldier of Jesus Christ is going to have a little separation. He's going to have to separate himself from compromisers, separate himself from false religions, separate himself from this world. This is also the chapter down here in verse 26, and they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Let me ask you a question. It's a sidebar. What's the devil using to take you captive at his will? He's talking to Christians. What's he using? Well, if he's using up here what he's using down there, a lot of times family. Yeah, family. And anytime the devil wants to take you and get you out of church, he'll have some drama show up. Boy, you just got to stay home and blow that little kid's nose. We used to sing that song years ago. Maybe work. That's the God of today. I heard the lady tell me this last week. He said, well, here's my philosophy, preacher. I believe that life evolves around work and everything else is scheduled after that. You know what she told me? Work was her God. It was her idol. Her idol. And the devil was using that to take her captive at his will. making her ineffective for Christ. Now, don't go out here and quit your jobs. You understand what I'm saying now? All right, let's move on. Now, we're going to kind of get into a little more meat here on where we live. If we look at chapter 3, about verse 12, Apostle Paul tells Timothy this. He said, now remember, Timothy was to the point of tears. Ministry gets hard. I don't care what this world's health and wealth preachers tell you. It ain't all roses. It ain't all easy. Let me help you a little bit. The Christian life is full of instabilities. And you're going to need the Lord to help you through them. He says, yea. He says, yes, Timothy, yea. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I believe he was telling Timothy here, if you're going to endure and be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure some suffering. If you look at chapter 4, verse 3, preachers, this is for you. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Back up to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart. He says, Timothy, you might not have a booming ministry. You're going to have to endure the sufferings of a decreasing ministry. Because the time's coming, and it was already started in his day. He was having an issue with it. That's why the Apostle Paul addressed it, said it's normal. Think with me now about, what is it, Matthew, John chapter 6. Jesus Christ said, if any man will eat my flesh, drink my blood, if he won't do that, he can't have no part of me. And he says over there that many disciples followed him no more. He called them disciples. That means they had gotten saved. They'd started an account with Christ. And they were being taught. And he said a hard saying. They didn't stick around for him to explain it. He does. He said that was spirit and truth. The flesh profiteth nothing. But Jesus Christ had a decreasing ministry. Think about it. Think about it. The most perfect man. Most compassionate. Most loving. But he had a decreasing ministry, did he not? I believe Timothy was having a decreasing ministry. And sometimes pastors, they watch as folks leave and they create their own storms in life, like Jonah did when he ran from the word of God. You got to endure that suffering there, preachers. It's not all easy. See, we're so success oriented today in America. It's all about success, 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 and growth, 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 going good, thinking positive, that we've lost sight that there's a real world that goes on. And you just don't win every round. You don't always perform at your best. Oh, but not only is there a decreasing ministry that you're going to suffer, you're going to suffer the afflictions of the flesh. I mean, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And sometimes God's men, they get afflictions in the flesh, and they'll have to serve in spite of those afflictions. And he tells Timothy, you're going to have to endure that. You got to endure that. How about trouble as an evildoer? Chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. He says, look, Timothy, sometimes you're going to suffer trouble as an evildoer. Sometimes preachers, they get called on the carpet as an evildoer. You got to be able to endure that. That's why the turnaround rate down there in Tennessee, where I'm at, is about 2 years. Why? Because when they get to ministry crisis, they run. No endurance. Endure troubles as an evildoer. Troubles in the Christian life, it just is not always going to be peachy for you. If you used to take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 quickly. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I dare say he's having a bad day, don't you? I dare say that's some affliction. Well, good night. The pastor don't shake our hand. We're mad. We just walk out the door. We don't want to come back. My. You know, they don't make macaroni and cheese for a church social. Little upset, you know. Wow, how superficial. We got to endure these troubles in the Christian life. How about Galatians chapter 6? Galatians chapter 6, about verse 12 there. Galatians 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution, for the cross of Christ. People are going to want to make you into their mold, and they're going to start persecuting you to make you more like the world. Oh, yeah. You'll suffer persecutions there. How about just flat persecution for Christ's sake? Just because you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and the devil don't like you. Philippians chapter 1, about verse 29. We won't turn there. Paul said, you're going to have to suffer that. He's telling Timothy there, you're going to have to endure this and keep preaching and keep witnessing and keep serving and get active in ministry. Oh boy. I mean, it's kind of like a fighter in the ring, ain't it? I mean, one of the things you got to condition yourself is to be able to take a punch. You are going to get hit. Most Christians act like they ain't ever going to get hit. And the first time they get a little ministry crisis, they're out. They're done. Well, I'm out of here. Something wrong with that. I think he said, the Lord knows whose are his. The Lord knows. Not everybody's running this is saved. You know, people do lie. The devil, he's a liar. And his people are liars. How about just for doing good? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, 20 says this, for this is thankworthy, this you need to be thankful for, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is what? Acceptable with God. Oh, but God, I got a firsthand account. You just don't know how they looked at me. You don't know God. He says, take it patiently. It's just going to happen. It just ain't always a rosy, sunshiny day. We are in a real battle. And to be good soldiers, we have to endure hardship of suffering. About hardship of service. Chapter 3, verse 14, here in 2 Timothy, he says to Timothy, because Timothy was getting rocked by false doctrines, by philosophies of the day. He's there pastoring, and pastoring's a lonely job. You got good, you got people and preachers with you, but there's going to be times when you're going to feel all alone. Yeah, that's what Paul said here, chapter 4, and he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, about verse 16. Oh boy. He said, but the Lord was with him. See, sometimes in service, verse chapter 3, verse 14, he says, but continue thou. He said, now, Timothy, these vain babblings, these philosophies, and these trick questions that want to bring division, they're going to come up and they're going to want to persuade you because they're going to have you thinking that you're not fair. Oh, boy. And he says, I need you to continue. You're going to have to endure it, but you need to continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Things that are true. Whatsoever things are lovely, true, just, of good report. of whom thou hast learned them, knowing of whom thou hast learned him, learned them. See, Timothy had been discipled by the Apostle Paul. He taught him, giving them fundamentals of the faith. We have to be able to endure that. But we need to continue to strive for the gospel. Philippians 1:27. But we need to be committed. Turn with me to chapter 1. This is the theme for us down in Tennessee at Open Door. And by the way, we're getting ready to change the name of the church to Tree of Life Baptist. So it's going to be the new name. But right now, verse 9, look with me here. Chapter 1, 2 Timothy. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now watch it. But according to his own purpose. Did you see that? Oh, we're going to have to be committed and to endure this hardness and be committed to God's purpose. Not our purpose. The word purpose means a plan with the end in sight. So God says over there, Romans chapter 8, about verse 28, 29. He says, now I predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. It's a process. But he said, that's my purpose. Then he tells us that we got a job to do. We need to continue the ministry of reconciliation. That's God's purpose. And he says, Timothy, you need to be committed to God's purpose here. In chapter 1. He said, why? Well, if you look with me in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy of this. Verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Uh-oh. Demas couldn't endure. The love of the world got Demas. And because Demas was not committed to God's purpose, he couldn't endure the afflictions of sufferings and shame, the hardships in the Christian life. He bailed out because he was more affectionate for the world than he was God. And because of that, look with me here, Demas missed out on an opportunity to minister to the Apostle Paul. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and it's departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. Watch it. Tychius have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas. There it is. See, Timothy had to take the cloak. Could have been Demas. But see, he wasn't committed to God's purpose. Wasn't committed to service because he could not endure the hardness. There's a lot to be said about having to endure hardness. It's hard. It's not easy. He missed out on ministry, service. Missed out on some great opportunities. And he missed out on reward. All because he could not endure the hardness. That means he was not a good soldier. Probably saved. He was a disciple, I'm sure of it. But he never made it quite to Christian. Oh, the world has really milked that word Christian down, haven't they? The Bible says a Christian is someone who is Christ-like. If you study your Bible, you find out that people, they get saved. Then they decide to count the cost and to follow the Lord in discipleship and become disciples, disciplined pupils. And then they were first called Christians in Antioch. That's what this town called them. They weren't calling themselves that. Why? Because their actions were lining up with their mouth, which lines up with Scripture, because the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Got to open up an account with all thy soul. Most people never get to loving God with their whole soul. That's where your seat of emotions are. That's where your consciousness is. They never get there. They can't endure the hardness. Therefore, their soul doesn't get fed And then love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. That's those actions, Christian. We're going to have to endure the hardness. It's not getting easier. Time is growing shorter. And I'm convinced that the devil has stepped up his game. Christians, we need to step up ours and learn how to endure hardness as good soldiers, Jesus Christ. I pray that none of us ever become a Demas and miss out on those wonderful opportunities that Demas missed out on. And I promise you missed out on the peace and the joy of God also. Hopefully that's been helpful to you this evening. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need to be able to endure this hardness. That means taking a beating while you're still ministering, or taking a beating and giving one to the devil. That's what we need to do. Pastor Tom.